thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Hey now.
Here's John Williams.
This is John in the Allstate Skyline Studio overlooking a beautiful city on a beautiful day with jets streaking overhead.
Lord have mercy.
Great time to be living in Chicago or even nearby, but if you're downtown, these jets will just sneak up on you as they're practicing for the Air and Water Show this weekend. Remember, we're here weekdays 1 to 3, Saturdays 10 to noon on your smart speaker. Say, play the Mincing Rascals, and you'll get the latest episode of our award-winning podcast. We just recorded it moments ago, and we'll put it up around 5 o'clock this afternoon after I edit it so as to make myself seem smarter. It really is a great week to be in Chicago. One of my favorite things is when they're just practicing. Maybe you don't get to the Air and Water Show, but it's just pretty cool to have these jets just streaking overhead and people looking up, and every now and then you'll see them do something spectacular, but mostly they're just like rocketing around the city. And hopefully the Air and Water Show weather will be as good this weekend as it is today, because it's just lovely downtown right now. My favorite thing is when they'll streak over Sox Park or Wrigley Field. Everybody's watching the game, not paying attention, and then they just buzz the stadium and 40,000 people go, whoa. Was it Ron Santo that used to not like that? Seems to me like somebody used to moan about how either frightening that is to people or it distracts the players or something, but I think that's pretty fun. And Ronnie was as fun as they came, so pardon me if I'm disparaging him unfairly. But I think Ron used to complain about that. Lots to do on the show today. We just mentioned with Steve Bertrand that we'll talk about the very serious and troubling topic of the six young people that tried to rob, evidently, this man's car, steal this man's car. And when he came out to what he thought was maybe either defend his property or himself, he ended up shooting a 14-year-old in the head to death. That young man dies, and the five men that were with him, they were all teenagers, are now being charged with that young man's murder. Think about that. After 2 o'clock, we'll ask an attorney, Rich Lenkoff, to join us again. He's always a good guest. What does the law say about that? What do you think about that? That will probably be our news click later this afternoon. We'll ask you to vote on that when we give you some options. The options we gave you today were on Mary Jane on the Mag Mile. What do you think about a nice, fancy marijuana shop right smack dab in the middle of Michigan Avenue between Water Tower Place and the Tribune Tower? 17% of you said, I'd love to see that. 40% of you said, I'm okay with that. And 44% of you said, I'm not loving this. So you can put that any way you want. 56% are at least okay with it, but less than half or all it, but 44% of you are not loving the idea. That's today. Where, Lauren Lapka, did you vote on the news click? Where are you on a fancy marijuana shop on the Mag Mile?
I did not vote. I it doesn't really faze me one way or another. I'm not someone who partakes, but I also don't care if people do. And I do think that a lot of people with a lot of money partake. And so I get why they would do it.
So if they want to spend their money, you're okay with that?
Yeah, I am.
You would be, so you'd probably be in the middle. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, to each his own. As long as it makes money and it doesn't cause havoc, but I don't really think it will.
The Dow is now off 21 points, by the way. A moment ago, it was off over 100, and a moment before that, it was up 70. So it's just fluctuating in that zone. It doesn't look like it's giving up 800 again, but it's not going to get them back at this rate. It's down 22. It's down 24. It's now trading negative, but it was trading positive. It's not as negative as it was. Usually, it makes some sort of sprint at the end in one direction or the other. So we'll keep our eyes on the Dow Jones Industrial Average for you and the other markets throughout the afternoon. The president, noticing this, has been angry at the Fed, and he's tweeted today also at the fake news media. Here's the latest tweet from the president about an hour ago. The fake news media is doing everything they can to crash the economy because they think that will be bad for me and my reelection. The economy is way too strong, the president tweeted today. About 2.5 hours ago, he tweeted, the United States is now by far the biggest, strongest, most powerful economy in the world. It is not even close. As others falter, we will only get stronger. Consumers are in the best shape ever. Plenty of cash. Business optimism is at an all-time high. So he's pushing forward that The markets aren't maybe the only indicator of the economy, and they're not. But it sure is unsettling to see us give up, well, at one point, 900 points in the last 30 hours or so. So we'll see what happens as we get closer to 3 o'clock this afternoon. You know, I've been a long advocate of body chipping. I think that as much as we are all slapping our rear ends, looking for our keys, digging through your purse, looking for maybe a card to get you into the door at work, that's how we do it here at WGN Radio. If you want to get through doors, you have to hold up a beep, a little credit card looking thing, and then the elevator gate opens, and then you, if depending on the hours, you want to literally get into the your office, you have to have that thing, and the door opens again. And heaven forbid you lose that. The same with where I park. If I don't have that, the gate doesn't go up. Think of all of the instances where you have coded information that you need, and it's attached to a physical thing. That, to me, is old school. Like, the digitization of our world is convenient and smart and can be protected. You know, better protected than somebody just swiping, say, a key. So you digitize it and you put it on a card. But my idea has always been that we should take that digital information and encode it on a chip under your skin and your thumb. And then you could just hold your thumb up to everything that you need digital information for now. Your credit card to get into work, to start the car. If you want to transfer tickets from one person to another instead of going through a website and then showing your phone, how come it can't just be encoded somehow on your thumb and you just hold your thumb up? And it's not the thumbprint. It's the RFD or whatever they call that. It's the RFI, not rural farm delivery, the RFI code that's underneath your skin. So there's a story in the news today. So I always see these and I notice them. Woman implanted her Tesla Model 3's valet key into her arm. So she literally took the little chip with the wires, and while she didn't have a chip already under her skin that she could transfer the information to, she went ahead and had one of those body imaging people that will, like, put funky earrings and pins and posts in your face. She had one of those people just open up her skin along her wrist and shove the thing in there and close it up. And now she just walks up to her car, boop, it starts. You never have to worry about finding your key again. You never have to worry about locking yourself out of your car again. It's permanently embedded under your skin. I think that's a terrific idea. Ashley, you like that idea, right? That seems to make a lot of sense. Wouldn't that make your world a little more convenient?
It would definitely make my world more convenient in the sense of, like, I'm forgetful. But oh, yeah. Luckily enough, I have not lost my key to the building yet, and I know some people have.
Oh, I have twice.
It would certainly make it much easier for Big Brother to know where you are all of the time, every moment of every day.
Really? Would that be a reservation of yours, Steve?
Not me so much, but yeah, it would, right? You could be tracked.
I don't know. They're not tracking me now with that ID card in my wallet, are they? I guess they know when I'm in and out of the building, but that's just a function of me having used the card. I don't know that the convenience of that information being in my thumb would make it any easier for Big Brother to know where I am.
That's what they want you to think.
And I like that for credit card information. I like that for my global entry that I have now when I travel. My passport information could be in there.
Well, my thing is, like, with the car, what if you don't like the car after a while and you want to get rid of it? Do you have to, like, remove the chip, or do you just live with it in your arm for the rest of your life?
That is a good question I haven't thought about. Right, well, it'd be like city stickers. You just have a whole bunch of them lined up under your skin.
just get another
one. Just get another one. I know. You'd look like a porcupine at some point. Antennas sticking out and stuff like that. I don't know. I talked to somebody else in Minnesota, maybe Michigan, but it was when I was on the air in Minnesota, and I put a guy on a couple of times who does this now, and it does it for his work door. In fact, it's a company. We may have talked about that here in Chicago, too. There is a company that is now chipping its employees. Oh, no, don't tell Steve. The company is chipping the employees as a convenience.
So I've talked to them.
Yeah, they're great guys. I mean, you know, they're innovative guys. I don't really know these guys, but I like that they came on the radio and talked to us about it. And they said that's the direction the thing is going. when you think about it, all of us carrying around all of these ID cards and all of that information in a digital world, that's sort of like weird. You shouldn't need that. That's just sort of a passport from one piece of information to one place. Well, you can just skip that middle step, that card, by just putting it under your skin. Says me, we'll need to work out some details, but that's my brilliant idea. I'm sure you agree with me that it's swell. My number is 312-981-7200. That's not all we're talking about today, but the woman is now able to start her Tesla Model 3 in California that way. It's weird, though, because there's no surgical suite that you go to that does this sort of thing. So you have to find somebody that does body modification or tattoos to implant these things. The woman documented her implant on a website called Hackaday. The person that did it for her in Texas goes by the name Pineapple. And he implanted the RFID chip from the Tesla into her forearm. As a rule, I don't like to have surgical procedures done by people named Pineapple. But, you got to do what you got to do. John, what happens when you trade your car in? Good question. I have no answer on that. Industry will work it out. John, Big Brother can already track us with our smartphones. 630 said implants could be a problem if you need an MRI. Another good point I hadn't thought of. 619 said, now when you get robbed, they're just going to cut your thumb off. 269 said, Trump set out to undo everything Obama has accomplished. Ooh, I see we're onto a new topic here. Obama bought the country out of a recession. Trump's going to get us back in one. Good work, Donnie, says 269. More about that later. Your thoughts about my chip idea? I think it's swell. Are we talking to Ed here? Hey, Ed, you're on WGN Radio. What can we do for you?
Well, you have to be a little careful with those keyless ignition systems. The car wash industry has a big problem with them in these what they call tunnel washes, where your car goes in and gets towed through.
Yeah.
But if you get out of the car and take the fob with you and you get too far away from the car, some models of cars decide that they're being stolen, and they lock themselves and put themselves in park.
Oh.
And, of course, in the car wash behind, here comes the other car, and wham, and then you tell your insurance company you had a car accident, and he said, where? And I said, in a car wash. And he says, where? So, and the problem with it is there's 33 different models that the car wash industry has identified are a problem, and they all disable this feature differently. So people have the car wash industry, most of them say, you get out of the car, you have to leave your fob in the car so the car is happy. But a lot of ladies, you know, they lose their fob down in the bottom of their purse, and if you had it in your thumb, you would probably never look for the darn thing. But there's many variations of this. Some of the Ford cars that have that little keypad on the side,
yeah.
When the brushes come, they tickle those keypads, and it's like somebody's entering the wrong code. And the car says, oops, I'm being stolen. He locks the door, and the engine's running, and the car comes out of the car wash and is sitting there, and nobody can get into it. And
that is so interesting.
Most people don't remember what that code is, so they have to sit and wait till somebody arrives with a set of keys to get the car going again. But there's 33 different models of cars that the car wash industry is concerned about, and some of them are your very high-priced cars, like BMWs and Lexus and things like that, that are very obtuse about how you disable the automatic braking system when the key fob is not in the car.
Well, Ed, is your last name Fuller by any chance?
No, it isn't. But I do. My son and I do own a car wash.
Where's your car wash, sir? You sound like a good guy.
Up in Elgin, Illinois, up off of McLean Boulevard.
What's the name of it? I'm going to swing by and get my car washed sometime.
Waterboy. We're called the Waterboy Car Wash.
The Waterboy Car Wash in Elgin. All right. Thanks for the information. Well, I'm sorry your life's complicated and might get more complicated when I get to be king, because I'm going to have all new babies chipped. But I'll keep this in mind.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Have all the new babies chipped. That sounds so horrible, doesn't it?
A little.
John, how about a patch? You would have like a nicotine patch. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking of. It would be maybe, it wouldn't even have to be on your thumb. It could just be right. You know, we get our dogs and cats chipped. John, what happens when you want to use valet parking? You drop off your car for service. You need to have your second key with you anyway. These are all good points. I don't have the answers to them. I'm just the big picture guy. But I'm sure all of this can be worked out. Time for the news. Thank God. It's 128. Steve Bertrand's got that next on WGN. Steve, you're on WGN. Hi, Steve.
I thought I'd seen everything, but this takes the cake. They said there was a woman on board with her cat, and the woman was breastfeeding her cat.
It's cuckoo world. I just stand here and take calls. I can't be responsible for it. Blame for the stuff that comes in. It's now 1:37. On WGN, this is John Williams. We're in the Allstate Skyline studio, still overlooking just a beautiful downtown. I haven't seen the Jets come zooming by lately. I don't know if they're still practicing for the Aaron Water show.
They are, yeah. Lauren and I are paying really close attention to your show.
Are they zooming by? Because we're looking out the same direction, windows. I'm just down the hall from you.
I keep trying to get videos. They're so fast, though. But they've been doing like the steam practices where they like project the smoke from the back.
Yeah.
And they're pretty much going right above the Lowe's building from what I can see from my angle. And they just did like the spout one where they each all four go in like opposite directions to make like a waterfall.
Very nice.
So cool.
I noticed last year, because I was right along the lake, and you know they didn't come too far from me. And as you see them going by, one of the things that impressed me was how small they are, how simple they are. It's just a seat and a guy with a couple of little wings and a rocket underneath them, and shoom. And they seem to be really maneuverable. They don't seem to be, you know, real big or complicated pieces of hardware. It's just a guy zooming by. It looks so simple. You'd think, I think I could do that. This is what I thought.
Yeah, probably not, though.
But then there's that.
They're also just so close to each other.
Well, that too, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that, I guess, is what made me appreciate the smallness and maneuverability of them, right? So it's not jumbo 747s. It's these little things, and they're just zipping along. I guess this is what I'm thinking, too. It looks like so much fun. It looks like so much fun. I don't want to do the thing where you get 12 Gs and you throw up, or Lord knows I don't want to be in combat. Thank you for your service, men and women that fly those things. But as they're just doing the show and zipping along the lake, it really looks like a fun thing to do. So hopefully the weather's going to be this good for the Air and Water show, because it's a delight downtown. This is a great week in the city. It's a great week in the city. Market is off. Shoot, now I just lost my screen on that. Steve, do you have it in front of you right now where the Dow is currently?
It's in New York City, Manhattan.
Look out the window now. Right now.
Wait.
Right now.
Right where?
Right over the Sheridan.
Oh, my God, there they go. One, two of them. Yes, siree.
It's up 7 points.
Okay. Pardon
really,
me, Steve.
For those of us who are not facing out in the windows, when those yells come up every 30 seconds.
Yeah.
That was the first time. Calm down.
Then I turn and I miss it.
I can do it again for you if you really want.
It's pretty amazing, too, because they're going over, not to borrow trouble here, but they better be good at that, because they're really tall buildings they're zipping around over here, and they're not that far from them. But they obviously know what they're doing. The Dow is up 7 points. Okay. I don't know if the president's Twitter account today is sort of a reflection in a weird way of where the economy is or where the markets are. That is, you get the feeling that this is a, you know, rightly or wrongly, the Dow and the economy are a reflection on the president. And when things go well, they get too much credit. And when things go badly, they take too much blame. But that's the sort of equation, and everybody knows it going in. So when the Dow is having as bad a day as it's had yesterday, say, and it doesn't seem to be fixing that today, you can just imagine the president throwing stuff out there, just haymakers, just throwing punches left and right to try and beat back the bad news. So his last tweets were, the fake news media is doing everything they can to crash the economy. The tweet before that was, Representative Omar and Tlaib are the face of the Democratic Party and they hate Israel. The tweet before that was, wow, the deputy editor of the failing New York Times was just demoted. She should have been fired. The tweet before that was, our great farmers know how important it is to win on trade. They will be big winners. These are all within 60 minutes. The next tweet is, the United States is now by far the biggest and strongest and most powerful economy in the world. Business optimism is at an all-time high. The tweet before that is, if President Xi would meet directly and personally with the protesters, there would be a happy and enlightened ending. I have no doubt. The tweet before that is, Representative Omar and Representative Tlaib, hate Israel and all Jewish people, and there is nothing that can be said or done to change their minds. They are a disgrace. So he's just throwing stuff out there. He's just, you know, powerless to fix the Dow today. So he's just throwing stuff out there, tweeting away. You'd think that, you know, what we don't have is video of the president actually doing it. Is he in concert with maybe an advisor like, hey, I'm going to do this. Okay, I'll watch over you, Mr. President. No, it's T-H-E-R-E. Be careful. I wonder if there is just, does he steal a private moment? Is he thinking about these things? I've never actually seen him launch one. But it's not the president that's actually got people scratching their heads today. It's that Representative Stephen King, the guy from Iowa, who, there's no other way to put this, said that were it not for rape and incest, the human species might not have been able to continue to propagate itself. He said, what if we went back through all of the family trees and just pulled all of those people out that were the products of rape and incest? Would there be any population of the world left if we did that? I don't know if he was speaking metaphorically there, if he was saying that to make a larger point, and sometimes you make an exaggerated statement to sort of establish your ground. That would be a terrible method in this case, but was he doing something like that? There was nothing else to indicate that that's what he was doing. You actually get the feeling that he means that. He went on to say, considering all of the wars and all of the rapes and pillages that have taken place and whatever happened to culture after society, I know that I can't certify that I'm not part of a product of that. So he's saying, who knows, maybe I wouldn't be here if it weren't for some rape and incest once upon a time. I don't know, maybe somebody should do the math on this and see if he's got a point. But wow, I mean, that's me giving the guy a break. That's just amazing. So then I started to think about it, because you say, well, but you know, that's just some crazy congressman from Iowa. As if a congressman from Iowa represents less of the thinking of the United States than a congressman from Chicago or St. Louis. But every congressman represents 744,000 people, 747,000 people. So about 750,000 people in each congressional district. Right? So a congressperson from Chicago or Springfield or St. Louis has just as many people putting that person into office as some crazy congressman from Iowa. They represent the same number of people as Danny Lipinski does, say, in the suburbs. Iowa, or whatever you think of the far-flung places over there, has nothing to do with it. There are as many people that endorse what he is saying as endorse what your congressman or woman is saying. There's 747,000 people who put him into office every 2 years. By the way, Iowa is no dumb state. I looked this up. The Wall Street Journal, in an article a couple of years ago, ranked it as the sixth most literate state. Education levels are high. No state hardly at all uses public libraries more than Iowans. Iowans aren't dummies. Just Steve King is. The most literate state, by the way, is Vermont. Second most educated or literate states, New Hampshire, then Massachusetts, then Minnesota, then Colorado, and then number six comes in at Iowa. Their congressional delegation there in the House of Representatives, they only have four, right? Because it's not a very populous state. So they have four congresspeople. Three of them are Democrats, which may explain why King gets to still keep representing, because if you're maybe a citizen in Iowa and you look around, you go, look, we got two Republican U.S. senators. But of the four congresspeople that are from that state, three are Democrats.
That's pretty surprising to me. I didn't realize that.
I didn't either until I looked it up. So Steve King is the one conservative voice in Iowa in the House. He's more than a conservative voice. Do you have the audio of him actually saying that? So I read it to you in case this audio is not as easy to understand, but here he is in his own words.
What if it was okay, and what if we went back through all the family trees and just pulled those people out that were products of rape and incest? Would there be any population of the world left if we did that, considering all the wars and all the rape and pillage that's taken place and whatever happened in culture after society? I know I can't certify that I'm not part of a product of that.
It's the longest cut I could find. I'd like to hear more of what he says after that. Does he backtrack? Does he put it in some context? Now he didn't just bring this up randomly, right? Because he's trying to justify or explain his position about abortion. He said that in cases of rape and incest, a woman should still not have a right to an abortion. He said that child did not do anything wrong, and the child is a child, is a person at conception. So we all understand this argument, and I appreciate that. If those are your views, that gets to be your views. But then he actually tries to find value in that. Not only is that person born, but by golly, it's a good thing we force women to have those babies, because if it wasn't, he said, would there be any population of the world left if we did that? And then he said, what if we went back through all of the family trees and just pulled those people out that were the products of rape and incest? He says he can't certify that he isn't a product of that. Who knows? Maybe you or I would be too. Thank goodness for that, is the implication. This is the same guy, by the way, who said white nationalist, white supremacist, Western civilization. How did that language become offensive? And then he went on to say, people think that it was an organic media feeding frenzy on me when I said that. But no, when the media came down on him after his white supremacist comment, he called that an orchestrated thing from the very beginning. They had told me, heads up, before Christmas, this goes back a little bit now, they're going to try to drive you out of office to get you to resign. Within 24 hours, you had people saying, resign, resign, resign. Why? Because the New York Times misquoted me? He did say that, white nationalist, white supremacist, Western civilization. He equated the three and then said, how did that language become offensive? King was also removed from his House committee assignments by House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy. Later in January, the House passed a condemnation of white supremacy and white nationalism. So that's just the latest on that guy. I don't have any more. I haven't found any other audio that goes longer than that soundbite, but holy cow. Kevin, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? You're on the air.
First of all, John, I'm not for incest, okay? But I think what he meant, and I saw a lot of this, I saw some of the speech, but more than you put on right there, is that somewhere along the line in my family, I'm sure 200, 300, 500 years ago, I'm sure I had a bank robber in my family. I'm sure that there were bad people, and I'm sure a long time ago there was people, somebody in my family who did have incest or something like that. Just, you know, every time we... levels of family you have, your family's not good for the last 2,000 years. So I think that's what he's trying to say. He probably misspoke. He probably went too far on it. But in my opinion, that's what he's saying, that you know, no family is the family of Jesus Christ that is going to be good for the rest of the time. Does that make sense?
That does. But yeah, if that's what he was trying to say, boy, did he do a bad job of it.
I can't argue with that. but that's how I took it, saying that, you know, I mean, like I said, I'm not for incest, John, but I think that's where he took it.
Nice of you to call. Thanks for the help on that, Kevin.
Thank you.
Have a good day. What if we went back through all of the family trees and just pulled those people out that were the products of rape and incest? Would there be any population of the world left if we did that? See, that's the problem, Kevin. First part is, what if we went back through all of the family trees and pulled the people out that were the products of rape and incest? He didn't then go on to say, you know, a lot of us have weird things in our past. No, he said, would there be any population left of the world if we did that? Well, boy, it's a good thing we have population left in the world. So he's trying to put value in this. It's very strange. Very bad way to put it. I'm done talking about it. It's 151. This is WGN.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Comes another one.
Here's John Williams.
I mean, this show today has been just chock full of big thoughts. Not all of them good. It's 2:07. We're in the Allstate Skyline studio until 3. The Dow is up 107 points. By the end of this song, it'll probably be down 107 points. It's been a crazy day. but not as bad as yesterday when we gave up 801. We're not going to get them all back, but if in the next hour we stayed up 105, I'd take that. I take that. Rich Lenkoff is in our studio. We'll continue to follow the markets for you all the way until the close. Roe will probably have something to say about that afterwards. Once again, Rich Lenkoff is in Studio D. Rich, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thanks, John. Doing great.
You know Rich from his podcast here, Legally Speaking. And you also know him as the attorney with Bryce Downey and Lenkoff, LLC. I called you to come into the studio today to talk about a topic that the Mincing Rascals dove into. We'll post the podcast after 5 this afternoon, and your podcast will probably dwell on this too, which is the case of the 14-year-old boy who is shot by a 75-year-old man. There were 6 teenagers that were outside early in the morning in this man's driveway near his parked car. When the man comes out and says, "What are you guys doing?" one of them comes at him, the 14-year-old, with a Bowie knife. The man pulls out the gun that he legally owns and starts firing. One of the bullets hits the teenager, the 14-year-old, in the head. They grab that kid and they take off. That boy dies at the hospital, or is pronounced dead when he finally gets to a hospital. And the other 5 are now charged with that boy's murder. Okay, what else do we need to know?
Interesting story. I'm sure a lot of your listeners, when they read the headline, they thought they had to look twice when they thought that the person charged with murder was not one of the people in the car, but the homeowner. It's a little unusual. Yeah, 2 really interesting components of the story, I think, that we'll, of course, cover on our podcast is, A, whether the homeowner was justified in shooting this person in the head, arguably over a car. Of course, his position is that he was in fear for his own life because of the knife. Second legal issue that's very interesting is, as you mentioned, whether it is right, whether it's justifiable to charge the other people in the car with homicide when they did not have a gun, they didn't pull the trigger, they were not directly involved with the shooting of this other person. So those are 2 really interesting questions, I think, legally.
Don't you have to have intent for murder? They didn't intend to murder, they intended to steal the car.
Right. So Illinois has a law, and it's among the broader laws in the country that allow the charging of murder if someone is killed during the commission of a forcible felony. In this case, a forcible felony was committed because the knife was involved, even though they did not arguably intend to go to Lake County with the idea that someone will get killed, certainly their friend or their relative. The law is pretty tight in that it does allow for charging of this crime. There's a lot of discussion, obviously, about whether that's right, whether that's the right charge. There's actually a bill pending in Springfield to reduce that, the ability to do that, to narrowly define this. But right now it is law. And you can charge them with, or you can charge them all with murder as they were charged with here.
That was the point Eric Zorn was making in the podcast, that maybe that law was written for a case which is not this case, that was not the idea. So the law needs to be tweaked. But as it is, the legislators saw fit to say, no, this is the law. And you may or may not like it, but we keep, then get new legislators or get the legislators to get new laws. But right now, that's the law in Illinois. So it doesn't matter if you like it or not, at least not in this case. So the question then becomes, it's applicable in this case, isn't it?
Yeah, it's certainly applicable. And the law was intended, as you mentioned, more to deter gang activity. Largely, that was the reason for it. So I don't know that it was intended to deter this type of crime involving stealing of a crime. On the other hand, listen, they did go there with the intent to commit a crime. They did have a record. A couple of them have served time before. They do range in age, I think, from 14 to 17. They are being charged as adults.
I think one of them is 18. I think one of them is 18. Yeah.
Yep. The law does give some discretion to charge them as adults, given some circumstances, including their prior history. So Lake County is certainly within its rights. Whether they should do that or whether that's, moral or ethical is a different question, but it's certainly legal.
I had so much sympathy for that man. He's a 75-year-old guy, for God's sakes, living there in Lake County. Not many people up where he lives. It's a quiet little neighborhood. And then this happens. This nightmare pulls into your driveway. In retrospect, you'd want to say, let him have the car. You know, just call the police. Don't come out and defend the car. But he was within his right to go out there and try and shoo the kids away. He legally owned the gun. Now one of them's coming after him with a knife. Yeah, you've got to defend yourself. I mean, I had a lot of sympathy for the man. And if I may, Rich, I also had a lot of sympathy for the 14-year-old boy. 14. So I felt that that young man was the victim, if you will, of the older teenager's intent. I'll bet that kid wouldn't have gotten up and done that himself, but they were the ones pushing it. The rascals didn't entirely agree with my analysis of this, but I felt so bad for a 14-year-old in that position that I wanted to blame somebody. And now all I'm left with is the other five slightly older teenagers. So my gut instinct was, my first reaction was, yeah, put him in jail, charge him with murder. That's how angry I was. Maybe not the best way to execute justice, but that's at least where my head was.
Yeah, believe it or not, in Illinois, you can use force not only to defend yourself when you perceive yourself in danger, but you can defend your home. There's a castle doctrine that applies in Illinois.
Would that have been the case here, castle
yes,
doctrine?
You can even defend real property. You can even defend your car, believe it or not, with force. You have to, you know, do so reasonably, and you have to meet force with force. But Illinois does have a broad law that allows you to use force in the commission of a robbery, even if it's for your car. Again, you might not think that is legal, or you might not think it's moral or right. The law does allow you to do that. That's why they're not going to charge this person.
Still, I'll just go back to the point a minute ago. Maybe the man wouldn't agree with me on this, and maybe his is the only opinion that matters, but let him have the car. I mean, it must be a nightmare for this man to know he shot and killed a 14-year-old who had a knife. The whole thing is traumatic. And here's what I think people don't want to do, is just give up. You know, so then anybody that comes and wants to steal my car, I'm just going to sit there and watch him take my car. Hell no, I'm going to defend my stuff, my family, and my vehicle. So that's the push and pull on this thing. But now you got a 14-year-old dead.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, I always look at the comments on social media. For me, that's, you know, a free mock jury in many ways. And you look at what people are saying. A lot of people are saying that, you know, this person, even though they're 14, had the requisite knowledge that they were going to commit a crime, at least steal a car. Many people, of course, are attributing some racial undertones to it. I don't think you could look at this without considering the racial undertones. The five individuals were African-American. I don't know if the homeowner was white. I assume he was. I don't think they've released that. But, you know, a lot of people are saying that had this happened in Cook County, of course, it ended up in Cook County. It was a 45-mile chase between Gurnee and Chicago. That if it happened in Cook County, then Kim Fox, you know, would be charging the homeowner right away. So I don't think you could
really
look at this. That's what a lot of
it's
people
gone
are saying.
There. Okay, fine.
I don't think you could look at this without considering the racial aspects of it. But yeah, all the way around, you know, a tragedy anytime someone loses their life.
I processed this whole story for 3 days and haven't thought about the racial component for 2 seconds, because to me the compelling components are the age, who's being charged, and the man's ability to defend himself. So that's just one other thing that you've touched on, but to spend another minute on that, the castle doctrine, if somebody breaks into my house, I understand my ability to defend myself and my stuff. But if it's on my lawn, I get to defend myself and my stuff too?
Yeah, the question is whether your perception of the risk of the harm is reasonable and whether you're using reasonable force. Illinois doesn't have a stand your ground law per se, like we've all heard about in Florida. But it does, in essence, have that law that's been created through case law. So Illinois does allow you to stand your ground. You don't have to retreat. You can meet force with force. And again, this person was carrying a FOID card, so that's why he's not going to be charged in this case.
If he had shot and missed and the bullet hit an innocent bystander, I don't suppose he'd be charged with reckless homicide or something like that?
Probably not. I mean, unless he was, you know, wildly waving around the gun or doing so, you know, very recklessly. Again, what he did was in response to what he perceived as a threat to his life. It wasn't even the car or the home. That would be a harder question. In
Say
this
that
case,
again?
Well, it wasn't even that he was defending his car or his home, right? I mean, if you believe the reports, there was a knife on scene. And I think it's an easy case to not charge him because he was being approached with a knife. So in your scenario, if he was, you know, shooting wildly or unreasonably, then maybe, but probably not.
He could have retreated to his home, too. I'm just thinking of ways to keep this thing from escalating the way it did. Do you have any general rules of thumb, advice for people out there when they find themselves in a scenario like this?
I mean, again, you know, the police are there to protect you, right? The best advice generally is to leave these things up to the authorities. So he certainly could have called 911. He did afterwards. That's a way to de-escalate it and not, you know, be involved. Of course, he would probably argue, and many supporters would argue, that A, that's not what's legally required. He has the right, as we've now talked about, to defend himself. And B, you know, if someone is approaching you with a knife, are you really going to wait until the police come? You're, you know, facing an imminent risk to yourself. You're armed. Then you act.
Okay. So,
the best advice generally is to wait for the police.
So think about this. It's 1 a.m. You hear a ruckus outside. You look outside and you see some young people standing around your car. And they're going to steal your Audi. What do? You have a FOID card. You can walk right out there and do what you need to do. Or you could stand there and call 911. And maybe the cops get there before your car gets stolen, maybe not. But you're just going to stand there and watch them walk off with your car. And you've got a loaded gun and the right to shoot it. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? That's not a rhetorical question. I don't have an answer to it. I guess it depends on you and the situation. But if you don't want to get knifed or shot, and if you don't want to shoot anybody, staying in your car, your house, staying in your house would be a reasonable option, wouldn't it? But I hate that, Rich, because now I'm just telling you to be a victim of theft.
Yeah, I mean, that's a broad question, of course, and certainly the safest route, because who knows what the person who's approaching you has in their possession, right? I mean, you have to assume that someone who's trying to rob you has a gun. Do you want to engage that kind of person?
That's what I was thinking. I mean, I'm surprised, to be honest with you, if these are hardened criminals, I'll be them 14 to 18 years old who've got records, who've driven to your county to go steal cars and stuff, I wouldn't be surprised if one of them had a gun. You go out there with your gun, there's six of them. I don't like your chances. Evidently, he was able to defend himself and his stuff. I have a lot of texts here and some phone calls, too. Do you have another minute, Rich?
Yeah, of course.
Rich Lankoff, Legally Speaking, is the podcast, and you know him also as one of the principal partners of Bryce Downey and Lankoff. The number's 312-981-7200. This is WGN. Rich Lankoff is here. Do you listen to his podcast? What's the name of that podcast you do there, Rich?
It is called Legal Face Off, right here on WGN.
Legal Face Off. You might also engage his services, Bryce Downey and Lankoff. Legal Face Off is the podcast to search for on WGN. We're talking about the case of the 14-year-old shot by a man who thought that not only would that kid steal his car, but might take his life. He fired at the kid. Now the kid's accomplices are the ones that are being charged with the murder. There's lots of issues related to this. The texters say, would it matter if he was 21 rather than 14?
No.
John, where are the parents? 630 says, I understand take the car, not worth the life, but the kid advanced on the guy. And 847 said, absolutely. I'm glad the gentleman defended his well-being and property. I think if we throw this out as a news clip, most people are going to say that.
Yeah, again, I've been following a lot of this on social media, and I would say about 80% of what I've read are in favor of the charge of murder against the 14-year-old and also in favor of not charging the individual.
I don't think we need to charge the guy that pulled the trigger. 262 said, maybe this should be a deterrent for all those other little punks out there who are up to no good. Well, it won't be. You think this is the first time something like this has happened? You think this is the first time that a young kid on the south side of Chicago got shot for doing something stupid and illegal? It happens all the time. Not like this, but kids are dying left and right. I don't know who I'm mad at. I'm not mad at you, 262, but I'm mad at this whole story. What if they had a premeditated meeting beforehand and said, if someone tries to stop us, kill them? That'd be premeditated. I don't know. Does that shed any light on this?
Again, you don't have to have any of that. The question of intent is not relevant to this law because all you have to do is have someone die during the commission of a felony, which qualifies here. You don't have to have any intent that you would have if you directly pulled the trigger.
630. Hi, John. The other alternative is let him have the car, which means anybody that wants something of somebody else's can just go take it and you can't defend it. Your thought on that?
Yeah, same point. I mean, the law in Illinois is that you can protect yourself, your property, your dwelling in this way. So you don't have to retreat. You don't have to call the police. It might be more sensible, some would argue, to do that. But you are perfectly within your rights to do what he did.
Two texts about similar stories. John, your story about the teen shot and killed during a botched break-in and his friends now accused of murder, similar to a case that occurred near my hometown city in Elkhart in Indiana. The case was called the Elkhart 5. Look it up. Interesting final result. And 815 said similar thing happened in my rural hometown in Michigan a year ago or so. The homeowner was found guilty of murder because the boys were shot in the back. They were running away, no longer in the midst of a crime. Different state, but what do you make of that?
Yeah, I know that story. We covered it on our show. Different, you know, because they were running away, and that wasn't considered reasonable force. Again, you still have to look at, the authorities will look at whether the use of force was reasonable given the circumstances. Someone approaching you with a knife is much different than someone retreating and shooting them in the back.
Okay, that's the latest. When's your next podcast drop?
We tape on Monday. We've got a great lineup on Monday, so check us out. We will be released here on WGN on Monday afternoon.
Legal Face-Off. Want to feature any particular conversation or topic you're going to cover?
It's all developing. We try to always have the most breaking legal news. We usually don't set it until the day of, actually.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's usually plenty for you guys to talk about.
We do have, actually. We have a guest on talking about the hot car laws. We've got a legislator, not here in Illinois, but I think from another state, talking about the attempts to make, to avoid, you know, babies dying in hot cars. So there's a lot of legislation about that. So we have a guest on about that.
Saw a story on TV last night, and there was the, I don't know if it was the police officer or somebody else, whatever they were doing to try and get the window open, they couldn't. It was a case of a woman who had rented a car. Mm. She wasn't that familiar with its operation. She got out, locked the car key inside somehow, and now the baby's in there. She's just freaking out.
Yeah.
The kid wasn't in that long, but they just got a hammer and pounded out the window on that.
Yeah, it's pretty common, and there are more and more laws trying to make car companies, you know, make these beepers and these alarms and sensors to avoid this issue.
In this case, though, the woman said from now on, and maybe she'll do this on the car she owns. I'm pretty sure this was a rental. But you know those little hammers you have on the inside of your car to bust your way out in case you fall into a lake?
Yes.
Put one under the bumper on the outside if you got a kid, and then you can hammer your way into the car if the baby or pet can't get out. Okay, nice to visit with you. Thanks again.
Sean.
Rich Lenkoff, Legal Face-Off. 2:30, WGN Radio News coming up. Thank you, Steve. Sean Williams here at the piano. After Steve Bertrand's 2:30 WGN Radio News, we'd like to feature some music with some news feature or local component. What are we listening to here, Ashley?
So what we have here is Cooper Moore, and he is an American jazz pianist and composer. And this is one of his many remarkable piano solos. And the reason I'm playing him today is because next weekend, the 41st Annual Chicago Jazz Festival is coming to town. That spans between August 23rd through September 1st over at the Chicago Cultural Center, Millennium Park, and venues across Chicago, and it's free.
Yeah. I've hit a couple of those in the past couple of years, and it's just another great thing about Chicago. While I think Chicago is over-festivaled, I also think some of them are awesome, and I'd put this on the, when I get to be king and I'm in charge of all the fests, this one gets to stay. Amen to that. By the way, speaking of things that are awesome in Chicago and they get to stay, follow at Lauren Lapka on Twitter, because today she's got a lot of the videos of the planes streaking around the buildings of Chicago getting ready for the Air and Water show.
I may have killed half my phone battery trying to get all those videos.
I can't believe you were able to capture this stuff.
Well, I honestly just had to keep my phone on and in my hand and ready to hit record as soon as possible when I heard something or I would see a reflection in one of the buildings. I felt like a cat. If anyone was watching the video of me that, you know, that we have streaming, I just kept like looking back and forth.
There's four videos and you got right out the window here. We're on the 18th floor of a building on East Wacker. We're next to the river and not too far from the lake, just you know, a few blocks from the lake. So it's a prime viewing spot, except for all of these other dang buildings that are in the way. But we still get a pretty good view.
Yeah, because they're definitely right over by North Avenue Beach and they're doing their streaks, like the streaks of smoke.
Yeah.
And they get way up there to do those big circles or to do kind of like the waterfall spout ones or just when they're going five in like an arrow formation. I don't know any of the like real words for these things, but they're so cool.
8 second video, a 19 second video, a 4 second video, and another one that runs about 11 seconds. So just quick peeks, courtesy of Lauren Lapka looking out the windows here at WGN Radio today.
The cool thing about the long one is that starts with one of those formations and one of the planes comes right over Columbus, right over our heads. Because my window is pretty much directly over the Columbus Bridge.
What is the weather supposed to be like for the... I'm looking up the weather right now for Chicago on Saturday and Sunday.
I've got it here, John. It looks pretty good. Scattered showers and thunderstorms possible, but otherwise partly to mostly cloudy.
That's Saturday and Sunday?
Yes.
81 and 85, like low 80s?
84, 86, yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, hooray for that. On my phone, the 10-day forecast next week is 85, 84, 78, 74, 78, 79, and lots of sunshine next week. It's been a great August. July got better at the end, but I still wish that we would have just a little more warmer days. It was literally, for me, yesterday afternoon, a little too cool. I said that to my wife, and she almost divorced me. But I would like it a little bit warmer, a little bit longer. Brenda, not so much. And what about, by the way, Kevin Powell's over in sports. Throw on your headphones for a second, Kevin. He does not have the monitor on. Yell at Kevin. Tell him I want to talk to him for a second. I see him leaning into his monitor over there. Throw your cans on, big boy. I just wanted to mention that the White Sox, you know, I completely agree with what Jason Benetti was saying in that little commercial you heard a moment ago. The White Sox are not going to be in the playoffs. I don't know that they're going to win. They're not going to win half of their games this year. We're always looking for little bright spots. Andy Mazur was talking about this last weekend. But when you can play as well as you've been playing against that team and get the equivalent of a walk-off grand slam in the eighth, that was a very fun baseball game. Did you get to that one by any chance, Kev?
No, I was not out there, unfortunately. But yeah, they took the season series from the Houston Astros. They've actually gone 3-1-1 against the Astros over the past couple seasons. So it's interesting. They've played the Astros and the Yankees and some of the top teams around baseball pretty tough over the past couple years. I think it's just a sign of how hungry they are and how young they are.
Yeah, no kidding. So. Nice to see how many home runs now. Does Eloy Jimenez have 24, 20-something, 25? Look that up for me.
I'll look it up for you.
Because he hasn't played the full season. I remember
he's
they mentioned
20 right now.
Is it 20?
He's been 240. He's got 46 RBIs. And keep in mind, that's missing, what did he miss? A full month
yeah,
at least.
Exactly.
That sprained ankle. So.
I'd like to see the batting average a little higher, but I'm not going to be greedy right now. And that he put up 20-plus before this season is out. Nice job.
Yeah, I think the over-under for a lot of, well, at least I had a conversation with someone before the season whether he would hit 25 or not, and I thought he would just because I think he's that talented, and the way the ball is traveling out of the ballpark this year as well, you factor that into how many home runs are being hit. Look, I don't really have many concerns about Eloy Jimenez at the plate really at all. I mean, I kind of said the same thing about Yoan Moncada last year, and look at the season he's having this year. Last year he really struggled. This year he could have made a case for him to be an all-star, and with Eloy, look, I know his numbers aren't all that great, but all things considered, his first full year in the bigs. He's only 22 years old. He is so talented at the plate. For Eloy, for me, he's got to get much, 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 much better in left field because he looks lost out there right now. But at his bat, I don't have many concerns. Defensively, big-time question marks.
Hmm.
Sorry to bring that down. That conversation. I know it was a positive conversation. I'm saying I'm very up on Eloy. He's got some things to work on. But, you know, again, only 22. To me, he looks like he clearly belongs in the bigs.
Well, if the best players on the White Sox play as well as they can play next year, Anderson, what a nice season he's been having at the plate when he's been healthy.
Yeah, a couple doubles last night.
And you just work your way through that lineup and you go, that plus some other kids coming up, blah, blah, blah. I'm telling you, 2 years from now.
Yeah, I mean, I think next year they've got a really, really good shot at pushing for the postseason. I mean, you look at the starting, your positional players pretty much set for opening day. Eloy in left, Luis Robert, who's absolutely destroying the minor leagues this year, probably going to be your everyday starter and center. Day one, opening day. And then your infield set, because you have Moncada at third, Anderson at short. I believe Nick Madrigal will start in the bigs at second base. And then you probably have Jose Abreu at first. And then behind home plate, James McCann, and then whatever you decided to. Now, all that being said, that's without spending a dollar in free agency. I expect them to be very aggressive in free agency this offseason. So you basically have your core foundation. Now it's adding the pieces, and your starting rotation is, there's still some question marks, but for the most part, you're kind of set there as well. So,
but my favorite baseball player in Chicago is Yelmer Sanchez.
Yeah, he's a fun player.
So where's he going
to
be?
I think he'll be around. You know, he's a great utility guy to have, and he's beloved in the clubhouse. He brings a ton of energy. I think for next year, I think you'll see him kind of in the same role he's in this year, which is the utility guy. He can play second, third, has a solid bat. So I think your boy Yelmer's sticking around.
Yeah. Who else is going to dump the Gatorade on themselves or anybody
or
else?
Or sabotage the third base coach when he's not looking.
Every now and then.
An unexpected third baseman.
In a post-game interview, so the pitcher, the guy that got the walk-off hit, whatever, will be standing there. And you know it's going to happen. And some of them really don't like it.
Yeah, you
like,
can
just
tell.
Think about if you had a jug, a great big baseball team-sized thing of ice-cold water just dumped on your head. Small price to pay for winning a baseball game.
Well,
but
it's
that's
actually not always just Gatorade or water. There's a lot of random stuff thrown in there, apparently, like beer and condiments and
oh, really?
Food. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
They wait, you mean they trash it up before they dump
yep.
it on them?
Mm-hmm.
Gross.
Exactly.
I have the most sympathy for the reporters who are in their expensive suits or their expensive dresses.
I know.
And they inadvertently get soaked. I'm like, come on, the dry cleaning. I know that's like, you got that spare, you know, you could buy 10 of those dresses with a spare change in your couch, but come on.
No. Plus.
Most of them always don't. They have a smile and they laugh it off, but that's what I'm like, oh.
Well, if they have a lighter colored uniform on and they dump the orange Gatorade on it, doesn't that kind of ruin the light colored uniform? Or are they able to get that out?
I think those equipment managers are so talented. You see them go to work after ball games in the clubhouse. They have a whole system in place.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Or they just get a new one. They've probably got three or four pairs of each uniform.
Suppose Major League can afford that baseball.
Afford it, yeah.
It's 247. One other thing to run by y'all in a minute.